Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the AXA 06 presentation earnings. As you can see, the whole management board is here today for this event. After the presentation, you will have the opportunity to ask questions with the priority given to the room. Before leaving the floor to Henri de Castries, we would like to make two short preliminary comments. First, we remind you that AXA closed the Winterthur acquisition at the end of December 2006, and therefore AXA's 2006 P&L excludes Winterthur. However, balance sheet and embedded value to be disclosed on April 10 will include Winterthur. The second point is that you will see throughout the presentation that 2005 and 2004 accounts have been restated to reflect two changes. The first one is that following IASB decision, TSDI, which are perpetual sub-notes, have to be booked like the TSS, which are perpetual deeply sub-notes. That means that interest charges are booked in equity and not anymore in earnings. The impact on the underlying earnings is around 80 million euros positive for 2004, 2005, 2006. The second accounting change is that all foreign exchange impacts are now booked in net income and not anymore in adjusted earnings. For detailed information, you have more information on the pages 57 and 58 of the presentation, but please, you can have a look at this after the presentation. Now here's Henri de Castries to begin with the results presentation.
Thank you, Etienne. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's great to have to discuss this result. It's certainly easier than the ones we had to discuss back in 2002, as we said with some members of the management board this morning. 2006 has been a great year, as you see. Why has it been a great year? I think it's because it's the first time that the deployment of our strategy is really fully visible in all numbers. I'll start by the revenues. As you know, as part of our 2012 ambition, we think that we can grow and that we have to grow our revenues by more than 10% or around 10% on the life side, around 3%-5% on the property casualty side, and over 10% on the asset management side. On all these benchmarks, 2006 is either aligned or exceeding the long-term goals. The life APEs have been growing at 15%, so the pace, which was the pace of the group in the first half, has been maintained throughout the year. On the property casualty side, and despite the fact that in some markets the competitive conditions are hardening a little bit, the growth is a strong one, 4%. We've been gaining, as you will see in the detailed presentation, we've been gaining share in most of the places. The asset management operations have been seeing really a record year, both on the AllianceBernstein side and on the AXA Investment Managers side. You see there the fact that the choice we've made to be financial protection, open architecture, multi-distribution is fully paying and giving us an organic growth rate, which is now visibly higher than most, if not all, of the competitors. This growth is a very profitable growth, as you see in the earnings numbers. Just to highlight some of the key points as far as the earnings are concerned, one of the, I think, very good news of this results presentation is what has happened with the new business value. The new business value is up 34% and reaches, for the first time ever, 1.5 billion. If you go back, I think 2 years ago, it was only half of that. It's a very significant increase. This is due to the volumes. This is also due to the margins, because the margins have been increasing by 3.5 points. You will see why in a few minutes when Denis will discuss the details. but I think it's a satisfactory situation. On the property casualty side, the combined ratio is going down further, and this with a reserving situation, which is a very cautious one. On the asset management side, due to the volumes and due to the net inflows, the cost income ratio is going down further, so there too, the margins are in good shape. So increase in profitability in all segments due, generally speaking, to very strong volumes and an improvement in the various business mixes. If you translate that into underlying and adjusted earnings, it's a 20% increase on the underlying side, with the earnings reaching for the first time ever the 4 billion hurdle. The growth pace since we started Ambition 2012 exceeds 20%, and you know that to reach 2012 we need 15%, which means for another year we are ahead of the long-term plans. On adjusted earnings, it's also a 20% increase, with a slight increase in realized capital gains. I think the strategic choice we've made to keep a significant equity exposure in the various portfolios was the right one, and you will see that we are increasing our long-term targets as far as capital gains extraction is concerned. If you look at the growth of both underlying and adjusted on a per-share basis, the growth is remaining very solid despite the fact that at approximately half of the year we have increased the number of shares to finance the Winterthur operation. On a per-share basis, the underlying earnings are growing 16%. The adjusted earnings are growing 17%. We think it's there to a strong case. All this leads us to propose to the shareholders' meeting, and this was approved yesterday by the supervisory board, an increase in the dividend by 20% at 106 euros. This puts us at a distribution rate, at a payout ratio of 40% of adjusted earnings. It's the bottom of the range we have indicated as a long-term target. And I think it's nice to have a 20% increase without, being at the top of the range. It shows that there is flexibility for the years to come as far as the progression of the dividend is concerned. So when you look at the numbers, as you see, the group ended 2006 in great shape. I'd like for a few seconds to go beyond the numbers because I think it's much more than just numbers. The good results are also coming from the fact that the customer satisfaction is increasing. You know that in our sector, the quality of service is a very, very important factor to keep and grow the portfolios. If the quality of service is poor, the customer satisfaction is going down. You lose your clients, your profitability goes down. We've made significant efforts to increase the quality of service. It's reflected in the customer satisfaction index, which is growing by 3 points. It's not enough. We think we still have a lot to do there, and we think it's going to be one of the priorities going forward, which means we still think that in this area there is a lot of room to do better and long-term to grow the earnings. Same thing on the employee engagement side. In a business where people are more important than anything else, you need to have everybody, sharing your view of the future and ready to do the extra efforts you need to outpace the competition. The employee engagement has been progressing a little bit marginally, but it's still progressing. It's also an area where we think we have a lot of things to do. We are now taking an approach which is a multi-year approach as far as the development of the employees is concerned, with the initiative called Passport 2012. And as you will see, we are going to open discussions to see how we can have all the employees become shareholders of the group, because we think it's a very good way to have a better alignment in the long term. If we go to the strategy, how have we deployed it? If you analyze 2006, what we've done basically is simple. We have tried to pursue on the way we had defined back in the early years of this new century. We have tried to increase the global reach and the diversification of the group. The Winterthur acquisition, of course, but Winterthur was not the only acquisition of the year. We've made in 2006 11 acquisitions. Many of them are not as large as Winterthur, but all of them are significant when you analyze them in the framework of our long-term plans. As an example, to increase our presence in emerging markets, we have acquired Alpha Assurance in Greece with a long-term bank assurance agreement. We have set up a life insurance partnership with the Bharti Group in India. You know that the Bharti Group is one of the most dynamic, if not the most dynamic, Indian group in telecommunications. We think it's a great partner. We have significant ambition there. On the other hand, we have not neglected the fact that we need to reinforce our positions in the markets we're in. This was one of the key attractions of the Winterthur deal. And we have also, in the UK, in the last months, since Nicolas Moreau has taken over as the CEO, made a significant number of, I would say, small or middle-sized acquisitions, which are very much reinforcing our grip on the distribution side of both the property casualty and the life business. This is for the, I would say, geographical reach of the operations. We've also worked hard on the, I would say, on the balance sheet and on the risk. As part of the initiative linked to the necessity to innovate faster and to spread the innovative products throughout the group, we have set up a European hedging platform to support the rollout of the accumulator-type products in Europe, and this was done in Ireland. The launch of TwinStar in Germany, which was done under the skepticism of many people at the beginning of 2006, has proven to be a success, even if we think we can still go way beyond where we are today. You'll see the impact on the German new business value. We are very actively managing our risk profile, and Denis and his teams are, I think, very well managing to stay or to be at the leading edge of innovation in these sectors, with the first mortality cat bond, with also the fact that we have existed the reinsurance business, which most of you didn't like. Last but not least, we continue to try to optimize the earnings per share. The cancellation of the convertible bonds, which could have had a dilutive impact on the earnings, is, I think, good news for the shareholders. We have, at the beginning of the year, been active on what we call the dilution control program, and we intend to resume this program now. So as you see, there is active, proactive management of the of the balance sheet. So these are the highlights, and I'd like Denis now to comment the earnings into more details.
Thank you, Henri. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I will now move to the detailed presentation of the financial performance of AXA, and start with the breakdown by segments. As you see, all business units contributed once again quite nicely to the underlying earnings performance. Life and savings earnings went up 20%. P&C was up 8%, sorry. Asset management, 28%. International insurance, up 92%. Let me dwell on that just for a minute because we won't come back to it. International insurance was is the segment where we used to have AXA Re. As you know, we've sold the business of AXA Re. We just have the positive developments on the runoff of the portfolio. And we have in that segment as well AXA Corporate Solutions, which had a very good performance in 2006. So, and 2005 for AXA Re was impacted by the U.S. hurricanes. So this explains this rebound. And other financial services and holdings were roughly stable. I will come back to that. Starting with the life and savings business, I am now on page 16. You see that new business volumes were quite strong. Henri, as I mentioned, the plus 15% already. But I'd like to highlight a few important things on this slide. First, the unit-linked business went up much faster at a pace of 30%, and unit-linked business now represented in 2006 51% of the total new business versus 45% in 2005. Second element, you see that the growth was quite important in the UK on the back of AIDA in particular, the pension reform, but it was also quite strong in Japan at a time when a number of our competitors registered low growth or no growth, and also quite strong in France, the US, and Hong Kong. We had strong positive cash flows and growing cash flows. You can look at this in two ways. Total cash flows went up 6%, but they were impacted by significant outflows of with-profit business in the UK. Let me remind you that we stopped writing with-profit UK in the UK in 2002, so we now have with-profit investment bonds of the late 90s maturing in the UK, and we have significant outflows in the UK of 2.7 billion euros in 2006 versus 1.9 in 2005. Excluding that, our life cash flows moved up 12% from 11.9 to 13.2 billion euros. We also registered accelerating cash flows on the mutual fund side, and this is just the mutual funds that are distributed through the life and savings segments, i.e. the life insurance companies or their distribution subsidiaries. So it's not all the mutual fund business that we sell through our asset managers, and this is more open architecture type mutual funds, so it's not just mutual funds from our own asset managers. The story of our life business is quite simple. It's 15% growth in annual premium equivalent in APE, in volumes, an expansion of margin of 3.5%, which leads to this quite important growth in new business value of 34% to €1.5 billion. And now let me get into the detail of that performance on new business value. We see that there is a very strong momentum in almost all markets, starting with the ones that didn't have a strong performance. You see Benelux at plus 8%, and Benelux is just a factor of essentially tax reform in Belgium, which happened at the end of 2005. So we had very strong volumes in anticipation of this tax reform and 2005, and lower volume because unit-linked business was disadvantaged from a tax perspective compared to mutual funds in Belgium. In spite of that, we managed to have a growth in NBV, a performance which was probably significantly better than most of our competitors. Southern Europe, we lost a bank assurance contract in one of the Southern Europe countries, so disappointing performance. Other than that, extremely strong performance across the board, with France at plus 28% on the back of new product launches that happened in the last quarter of 2005, and during 2006, the performance in France was very strong, both on the individual side and on the group side. In the U.S., performance was spectacular at plus 51%, and this is the combination of continued strong sales and gain in market share on the variable annuity side, and also accelerated growth in the variable life side, with the third-party business growing quite fast. In the UK, I mentioned AIDA, the pension reform, but also, we also benefited from very strong investment bond sales, essentially offshore. In Japan, also a very strong growth at 24%, which was due to successful launch of new products in terms of medical and term products, good performance on the savings side. But the most spectacular performance was registered in Germany, where our new business value tripled, and this is really the impact of the new variable annuity with secondary guarantees, the product that we call TwinStar, which was as successful as we had expected, gave us a total of new business value for Germany of 90 million euros. This performance, when you look at the total, is the combination of a growth in volume, an improved mix with more unit-linked business and more protection business, good productivity improvements, so there was a positive impact of the expense leverage, and also better investment market conditions with higher interest rates, which lowers the cost of the options and guarantees on the new business value. So in total, a very strong growth at 34%. Moving now to the earnings performance on life, I mentioned the plus 22% earlier. I need to comment a few elements. In the U.S., the growth of 16% was positively impacted by a tax one-off of 92 million euros in 2006. Without that, the performance doesn't look as spectacular. But we need to take into account that there was an important litigation that was settled in 2005, a Transamerica litigation, and on a pre-tax basis, the performance in 2006 is still double-digit if we exclude this one-off in 2005. In Japan, you see that the growth is only 1%, but there was a non-recurring 67 million euro positive in 2005, and if you exclude that, the performance is also quite good. So excluding those two one-offs, the tax one-off in the U.S. and the non-recurring element in Japan, the performance would have been 21% instead of 22%, so still quite a good number. Moving now to traditionally present to you, the margin analysis, you can see that our performance was the combination on the margin side from positive improvements in the performance of investment margin on the back of strong dividends and good management of the crediting rates, very strong performance at plus 15% of the fees and revenues because of the increase in the unit-linked business, and this is one of the main factors, but also the growth in the volume of the business more generally, and on the technical margin, good performance as well at plus 10%, reflecting the fact that we are selling more protection business. On the expense side, you see that expenses went up only 5% when the gross margins went up 12%. This is the productivity factor that I mentioned earlier. Taxes increased quite substantially at 39%. So if you look all in all, gross margins improved 12%, while expenses, tax, and minority interests increased 8%. We still have a positive leverage, and this explains the growth of 21% of the life earnings. On the property casualty side, we had a very good performance in a very competitive market. On the revenue revenue side first, which is this slide 23, the growth was 4%. This growth of 4% is a combination of very fast growth businesses, particularly the UK at plus 7%, and emerging markets, which we show we probably highlight for the first time in 2006. But our performance in emerging markets in terms of revenue growth was quite spectacular. We also had good performance in France and Belgium and Southern Europe at 4%, so in line with the group growth, slower growth at 1% in Germany. And this is the combination, all in all, of a growth of 5% of personal lines with very strong inflows in motor at almost 1 million new contracts, and good performance in households at more than 230,000 contracts, and good performance in commercial lines at 4%. So this revenue growth of 4% in a market which is becoming more competitive is, we believe, a very strong achievement. The combined ratio continued to improve in 2006 for the seventh year in a row. It's now 96.9%, an improvement of 0.8 points, which in the context of a growth of 4% we believe is good. The loss ratio improved 0.9%, and the expense ratio deteriorated by 0.1%. This expense ratio deterioration is, in fact, the combination of an improvement of the administrative expense ratio, which means that we continue to have positive expense leverage. This is more than fully compensated by an increase in the acquisition expense ratio, which reflects a continued change in mix in the UK for higher commission business, providing us with a lower loss ratio. If you look across the board at our performance country by country, you see that we have an improvement of the combined ratio in all of our entities, except UK and Ireland at plus 0.2%. But this is the combination of an improvement in the UK and a deterioration in the in Ireland, where the combined ratio increased by almost 10 points, but remains quite good in absolute terms. On the bottom of the slide, you see that our technical results improve by 190 million as a result of this improvement in the combined ratio. Our investment income also continued to improve because we continue to have strong positive cash flows as a result of this growth in revenues in the P&C business. This was partly offset by the increasing tax as expected. Moving to the next slide, we show you traditionally this set of flags showing the dotted line in the middle, which shows 0% in terms of price changes. We represent here the average premium for renewals of existing business across our major European businesses. You see that the picture is mixed. We continue to have renewals that are done with rate increases. We also have more flags that are below the line. So rate declines, you will not be surprised to see that there were strong rate declines in Ireland as an example, but this has been the case now for more than 2 years. Also, rate declines probably dominating as far as the UK is concerned and to some extent as far as Belgium is concerned. French motor is also rate decline, but you also see a significant proportion of rate increases in Switzerland as an example, in Germany for a certain number of lines, and in France also for a number of lines. So the picture is, in terms of competitive situation, remains mixed as far as AXA is concerned, which means that we are not worried about 2007 in terms of the competitive environment and our ability to continue to perform in P&C. On the asset management side, moving to the next slide, we showed a very, very strong performance in asset management. And let me start first with the assets under management increase. Average assets under management in 2006 increased by 18% to 968 billion for our two asset managers. End of year assets under management increased by 19% to 1,029,000,000 euros. This is not the total assets under management of AXA because you would have to add to that at your end, the assets managed directly by the insurance companies and the assets of Winterthur. And when you look at the assets of our two asset managers, you see that the business, the third-party business, continues to increase in proportion. It represents 671 billion euros. It's 65% of the assets under management versus 61.5% at the end of 2005. This growth in assets under management is the combination of net inflows of 73 billion euros, market appreciation because of positive equity markets, essentially, of 92 billion euros, offset by foreign exchange of a movement of 58 billion euros, which is related to the strengthening of the euro versus other currencies. All in all, as I said earlier, the assets increased by 19%. When you look at the performance of our two asset managers, Allianz Bernstein and AXA Investment Managers, it was extremely strong. Revenues up respectively 25% for Allianz Bernstein and 38% for AXA Investment Managers. AXA Investment Managers revenues are the revenues coming from third parties because we consolidate AXA IM and the revenues coming from the insurance companies are eliminated. The underlying cost-income ratio went down for both businesses by 1.5 and 1.6 points, and the underlying earnings went up 27% at Allianz and 32% at AXA Investment Managers. So across the board, a very, very strong performance of our asset managers. Moving to other financial services and holdings, this slide showed that we had a negative contribution of 404 million in 2005 and 406 million in 2006. Other financial services earnings declined because of a decline in the earnings of AXA Bank Belgium with the flattening of the yield curve. And the holdings performance is the combination of non-recurring financial income from the placement of our capital increase, which occurred in July, which is offset in part by higher financial charges and higher share-based compensation. Moving now to breakdown of our earnings by non-GAAP measure, underlying earnings, we already talked about up 20%. Adjusted earnings with the impact of capital gains also up 20%. The growth of the net income was only 18%. This is the combination of two offsetting factors. The mark-to-market of the derivatives and financial assets at fair value, which was this year a negative of 226 million euros. This is the result of the currency impact and the impact of the increase in interest rates. And exceptional operations positively impacted in 2006 at 196 million euros by a number of one-off factors, tax refunds concerning the sale of DLJ in 2000, a dilution gain coming from the exercise of stock option of the Allianz Bernstein, and the sale of AXA Re, which was a positive 66 million. With that, I will thank you and hand over back to Henri de Castres. One more slide. But Henri is welcome. I need to show you the impact, how we are going to mitigate the impact of the dilution of Victor. You see that on this slide that we had at the end of 2006 an outstanding number of shares of 2 billion and 93 million euros. Henri mentioned the fact that we have eliminated the dilution impact of our convertible bonds. This will remove, on a fully diluted basis, 66 million shares. On the other hand, we have the full impact of the capital increase. The capital increase was 208 million shares. So there is a remaining 93 million shares that will impact the diluted number of shares of 2007. So we have offset in 2007 two-thirds of the dilutive impact of the capital increase related to Winterthur, which means that we are starting the year on a good foot. Thank you.
Thank you, Denis. A couple of words on the Winterthur integration before handling the outlook for 2007. Where do we stand with Winterthur? I think we have to look at two or three things. In what shape is the company itself? B, what does it bring to AXA as a whole? C,
see how is it going to be integrated. If we start by in what sort of shape is the company itself, I think that Winterthur was in 2006, and therefore is still, or even more, in good shape. If you look at the earnings they are releasing, if you look at what the performance has been in terms of life APEs, it's a growth of 18%, which, as you see, is not only comparable but slightly higher than what we have been experiencing. The growth in Switzerland is only 6%, but it's a positive one. And the growth in the rest of Europe is 20% for continental Europe and 37% for the UK. Therefore, I mean, the ones who thought that there was no growth potential in Winterthur, I think, have been proven wrong in 2006. If you look at the non-life picture, their growth is slower than ours. But if you look at the detail, it's 2% in Switzerland and 6% in continental Europe, benefiting from what they've done in Spain and Belgium. So we think that this company has a good growth potential. If you look at their earnings increase has been fueled by their technical results, despite the fact that the financial income is lower. And if you look at the bulk of the operations, which are of interest to us since we have sold quickly the U.S. exposure, their earnings have been growing by 7% with a combined ratio which is at a good level, with a very sound reserving situation, and with a combined ratio which has also been improving in 2006. So as they join the AXA teams, they are, I think, in good shape. The work which has been done by Lenny Fischer and his teams to turn around the company is a success. It was an attraction, one of the attractions of the deal for us. The fact that the work had been done but was not perceived by the market, I think you have now in the numbers the reality of this turnaround. Now, if you look at what does it bring to AXA, you already know that, but it's a significant operation because it adds approximately 20% on average to the, I would say, AXA pie. 18% on the life side, 22% on the property casualty side, with a very good penetration in some of the interesting European markets. For us, Switzerland is nearly a new market. We had a small operation in Lausanne, very successful one, but very small. We are now a leader in Switzerland. It's giving us a very good access to Eastern Europe. It's giving us a very strong reinforcement from our market shares in Belgium, in Germany, in Spain, very nice addition in the UK, and some nice pieces in Asia. So for us, it was killing much more than one bird with only one stone. It's the sort of operations we really like. If you look at where are we in terms of integration, I think it's going well. I think it's going fast. I've been now since 18 years with the group. I've never seen such a pace in an integration. And this comes from the fact that on both sides, people are enthusiastic about the prospects of the integration. And on both sides, the operations are in good shape with good operational models. If you look at where we are, I mean, first, all the CEOs have been designated, but this is already an old story because this was done in September. Their teams have been built before we even became the legal owners of the company. The brand strategies have been clarified. It's going to be a move to the AXA brand over time with some local flexibility. The target structures are defined, and more or less it's going to be a transfer from the Winterthur assets into the AXA companies or mergers. The key challenges are easy to understand. I mean, the challenge in Switzerland is growth and growth. We think it's a market where, starting from a leadership position, we can accelerate the growth. This is true as well on the individual life side as on the property casualty side. Switzerland is a competitive market, but with good margins. We think that introducing some of the AXA products and I would say asking Philippe Egger and his team to become slightly more aggressive without, of course, deteriorating the margins is something which is going to generate growth, probably not in the next 6 months, but as usual, over time, we should see that going up. In Germany, It's a classical integration issue. Germany is the, I would say, the heaviest integration because both companies are of significant size. Because in Germany, from a legal and social standpoint, things are always slightly more difficult than in the rest of Europe. But as you know, and I see some people smiling, once it's moving, then it's unstoppable. I think what we need to do is to continue to do what we've been doing, which is launching new products, reorganizing the distribution, but contributing also the Winterthur, the DBV operations to AXA. So far, it's going very well. Frank Kuiper, who is the CEO, who was a former AXA guy who had moved to Winterthur, is handling that very well under the supervision of Freddy. The roadmap is a very, very clear one. In Belgium, it's also a classical merger. There, the key challenge is to manage the combined market share with the brokers, because the addition of the two market shares is leading for some of them to us having a very, very significant share of their business. So there are some attrition risks there. They are very closely managed, but the efficiencies which we're extracting from the merger are going to be very, very significant. In Spain, it's more or less the same story. We have to manage actively the retention of the brokers, and we have to motivate the agents. Winterthur had been slightly neglecting the agents' sales force in Spain for the benefit of the brokers. We think we can extract more from their agents' sales force, and overall, I think there too the integration is going well. We are having in Belgium, in Spain, and in Germany active discussions with the unions to, restructure the operations from a social standpoint as efficiently and as smoothly as possible, and these discussions are going well. Which leads us to the next point. We are significantly increasing the synergy targets from the operation. As we told you when we did it in June, we expected Winterthur to be relative by 7% on an earnings per share basis beginning of 2009. What we think now is that we can increase the target. The synergies we are going to extract are moved up from 280 to 350 million. It's a 25% increase. And we are extremely comfortable that we will reach this goal. The costs to extract these synergies are only growing by a marginal amount. We think it's probably going to cost us 20 million more. I think it's marginal. Why are we increasing the synergies? A couple of reasons. First, when we look at the way we combine things, we think we can combine them more efficiently than what we thought initially. Second, the pace of the integration is faster, significantly faster than what we were ourselves expecting. And among other things, from a social standpoint, the quote, restructurings are going better than expected. If you look as an example, because it's very symbolic, at the way the Swiss headquarters issue has been handled, the people have been leaving earlier than what we were expecting, and 90% of them have already found a new job. So we think it's a good example of the fact that the flexibility in the labor market is not necessarily a negative, but this has nothing to do with our results. So if we go now to the conclusion and to the outlook, well, I mean, if we sum up everything, 2006 was a very good and a very strong year by all measures. Very strong year from a top-line performance, as I said before. Very strong year for an earnings performance. We continue to be ahead of our 2012 ambition goals in terms of pace of achievement, which I think is demonstrating the fact that we really believe in the 2012 ambition. It's not a plan where most of the achievements are going to come in the last 2 or 3 years of the plan, a sort of hockey stick curve. As you've seen, we are now in the early years of the plan, delivering more with the average pace than what the average pace should be. The key The key challenge for 2007 is very, very simple, and we are confident when we look at what we have to do in 2007. We need to do two things. We need to keep the growth momentum, because I think it's one of the things differentiating us from the competition, the fact that we can have an organic growth rate which is, I would say, around 10% overall in terms of revenues. And we have to successfully integrate the Winterthur operation. These are the two things, but all the teams are focused on that, and we are confident we will reach that and meet the challenge. As I told you earlier, I think a very important element to achieve the goals is to get, I would say, an extra level of engagement from the teams, not that much from the executive teams, even on an enlarged basis, because there I think everybody is on board. If we really want to change the quality of service in the depth of the ranks, we need to have all our employees understand that there is something in it for them. And therefore, what we want to do is to find a way to have all of them become shareholders of the group. If you look at where we are today, approximately 40 to 50% of the employees have become shareholders through the AXA share plans. For them, it's a very good investment because on average, they have tripled what they have invested in it. You have a significant number of managers which are holders of options, but we would like to have every employee become a shareholder, so we are going to enter into discussions on a local basis with the representative bodies to look at the way we can put in place either Baladur shares programs or similar programs linked to the achievement of the 2012 ambition. That's why at the shareholders' meeting we are going to propose to devote 0.7% of the capital to that. We have some ideas on the ways we should do it. We think it's going to increase the alignment, and the dilution is going to stay a limited one, as you see. So if we look at the outlook for 2007, it remains a favorable outlook because I think we are in a very, interesting situation where the group is in very good shape from an operational standpoint, but is far from having reached its long-term goals, which means that the management believes that there are still very, very significant ways to improve the performance. If there were to be major catastrophes on a worldwide basis, this could have some impact, but I mean, at this stage, it's not the case. The world growth remains strong. We think that on the life and savings side, our operations should continue to grow, and we should reap the benefits of the initiatives we have taken on product innovation, on quality of service, and on the distribution management side. On the property casualty side, I think we will see the confirmation of the fact that the cyclicality of the market is not what it used to be. Yes, of course, there is, in some places, some tensions on the pricing, but I think we have a room for maneuver because the efforts we've made in terms of underwriting, in terms of managing the cost of the claims, in terms of, expanding our commercial efficiency, are efforts which are enabling us to, counterbalance some of the pressure. And on the asset management side, we will benefit in 2007 from the very strong 2006 inflows, and there too we think that what we have on the table in terms of product offering is quite convincing. Last but not least, you've seen that in terms of capital gains, we've been extracting 1.1 billion in 2006. The markets remain good. The exposure to equities we've kept in the various portfolios was, the right strategic choice. And this leads us very comfortably increase the long-term target in terms of extracted capital gains on a recurring basis. To 800 to a billion, we are very confident that we can achieve that. So this is where we are. Good year, good perspectives, a very strong will of the management to implement 2012 and to show that we still have a lot of room to improve the existing operations. Thank you very much, and we will now answer your questions. So do we have questions in the room?
Yeah.
Yes, could you raise your hand, tell who you are, and then ask your question. And we'll start with Mr. Derbecourt, I think.
Yeah, good morning. So Jean Derbecourt, Société Générale. I have actually three questions. First of all, could you go with us in the cash flow statement, because in fact, the cash flow are rising at a lower pace than the underlying and adjusted profits, and I would like here to have some details on why is this, and also could you give us a breakdown of operating cash flow between life and non-life? I did not find, so this was my first question. Second question on reserving. I did not find any clue on the level of reserving at the end of 2006 and how it compares with 2005 in terms of level of comfort you have. Did you manage to realize some release of reserves in today's profits? So here, I think we should normally have a much higher visibility. And last but not least, on Japan, could you go with us in the performance, especially on the sale of unit-linked products? Thank you.
Okay. I think Denis is going to take the question.
First, if I understand your first question, Jean, this relates to our operating cash flow, not the cash flows at the holding company. So on the life side, as you saw, the cash flows were, if you include the with-profit business, were up 6%. If you exclude the with-profit business, which is not the most profitable part of our business, the cash flows went up 12% from 11.9 to 13.2. On the P&C side, the cash flows went slightly down from 3.2 billion euros to 2.8 billion euros, but we are still analyzing those numbers, and we believe that it's more a function of an increase in working capital rather than a function of the worse underlying performance, because the growth of revenues was 4% and it was good. And I relate that to the last but not least, on the asset management side, the 73 billion euros, which is an absolute record for us. The previous record, I believe, was in 2000 at 40-something billion euros, is quite phenomenal. So I would say that our cash flows are very, very strong and bode well for the future performance of the group. On the reserving, a few comments here. First, when you look at our loss ratio, it improved by 0.9 points, and current year performance is an improvement of 0.3%, and which means that we have a slightly higher amount of boni on previous years. But I would not equate boni on previous years, so positive developments on previous years, with reserve releases. In fact, if anything, our reserving position is stronger at the end of 2006 than it was at the end of 2005. We've continued to improve the strength of our reserves. Now, with as you know, we don't publish the balance sheet now, and this is why we've not given you premium to reserve ratio, or reserve to premium ratio, or reserve to claims ratios. Those ratios are slightly deteriorating, and this is the function we said 2 years ago that this would happen at some point. We have continued to have lower claims, and continue to have accelerating growth in revenues. So naturally, there is a point where the reserving position is very, very strong, and you can't continue to improve that ratio. And we have now come to the inflection point, and there is a slight deterioration of this ratio, which is, in fact, largely explained by a movement in Germany where we've put some business in discontinued, and this was long-tail business. But I would say that we are arriving at the plateau in terms of reserve to premium and reserve to claims. But you shouldn't take that as a release of reserves. We've continued to hold a fairly conservative position on the reserving.
Just to add something, I mean, it's clearly not a deterioration in the operating performance. It's just a reflection of the fact that the loss ratio is going down. you don't need to reserve as much when your loss ratio is 67 than when your loss ratio was 87. In other terms, when the combined ratio was at 114, we needed to have more reserves because the loss situation was worse than when the combined ratio is at 96. And this is what Denis has been describing.
So now moving to your third question, which is Japan, you see that in Japan we have good top-line performance with AP up 16% and NBV up, new business value up 24%. In Japan, the way I would describe the situation is as follows. In the first half of the year, we continued to have significant sales of this product, which was tax advantage, called LTPA, long-term private accident. This product stopped completely at the end of the second quarter, which for us in Japan is March, because of the change in the tax regulation. We had a weak third quarter, and in the fourth quarter, we had very strong sales of medical products, which means that the protection side of the business continued to develop quite nicely. On the savings side, we had some successes, but we had one big disappointment, which is that our dollar-denominated variable annuity didn't take off in the bank assurance channel. This is why we have launched in January 2007 a yen-denominated variable annuity, which we expect will give us the success we need in bank assurance. But all in all, we managed with this changing regulation to have very strong sales of protection, good sales of savings products, even though the yen, the dollar-denominated VA didn't work well. We still had good sales of savings products, which led to the increase in unit-linked business. But all in all, a strong performance. And on the earnings side, as you saw, we had flat earnings in Japan, but this was on the back of a positive non-recurring item of €67 million in 2005, which means that we are not worried about the ongoing performance from an earnings standpoint of our Japanese operation.
Other question? Yep.
Yes, hello. Aaron Duelguet from Exam BNP Paribas. I have two questions. First, about question about Winterthur, and second one about the UK market. First question, I wonder if you could share with us some of your assumptions in the new cost synergies target for Winterthur integration. And in fact, behind that, I would like to know what is the expected number before policy orders benefit, and in fact, what is the underlying assumption of the percentage of synergies that you will have to share with your clients. Because there are two issues. There is the restructuring gains from one hand, but the second issue it is what is the strategy of AXA in terms of pricing strategy. What will be the numbers for the clients? Second question about the UK market strategy. The tariff trend you disclosed today doesn't seem to be in line with the message from some of your competitors on the motor market. I mean, tariff decrease versus need to increase tariff on the motor business. And in fact, perhaps it is a specificity of AXA linked to your strategy of comeback, in particular on the direct distribution market.
Okay. Thank you. Denis, do you want to take the first one?
Yes. So we will not give you the at this stage the pre-policyholder allocation numbers, but we've not made bold assumptions on that. It happens that we have a significant participating business in Germany, so this is where there is a big difference between the impact on the pre-policyholder participation and an impact on the post-policyholder participation. This is essentially in that area that we see the difference. Our assumptions on the synergies are not different than the ones that we had made in June, except that we now have firmed up numbers and detailed plans of implementation. This is why Henri has indicated to you that he was quite confident in the outcome of those synergies. I mean, we are quite a long way further in the development.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, the what I said very clearly is the fact that the people which we are expecting to leave have been leaving earlier than what we were expecting, which is one of the elements in the costs. To go to the UK question, I think the your question arises from the fact that, I mean, what we've been showing is how the average premium for the existing business is evolving. So it's the average premium in the existing portfolio, which is, generally speaking, the essential part of the portfolio. It doesn't say anything about the price for the new business. And what the competitors are saying, it's not that they are increasing their prices on their existing book. What they are doing is that they are increasing their prices or their pricing on the new business.
And for us, this, I mean, this difference is significant because, as you know, and as you rightly said, Erwan, what happens in the UK for us is that we are moving from a small portfolio in motor to a larger portfolio in motor, and we have expanded our underwriting from a fairly narrow segment 2 years ago to a much broader part of the market now, which means that we are pricing now for non-standard risks, which are with prices that are significantly higher than the prices that we apply to our existing portfolio, while having a positive, I mean, a quite successful hit rate with the customers. This allows me also to mention that we continue to be in line with that strategy of re-entering the motor market with the acquisition of Swift Cover, which is an internet-only writer of motor business. We did, in fact, underwrite 75% of that business already, and we are now going to underwrite 100% of the Swift Cover business, which is a business which has a very good cost position and which represents probably the new trends in the motor market in the UK.
Next question.
Yep. Good morning, Thomas Jacquet from Cheveux. I have two questions. The first one is regarding the attractiveness of Eastern Europe for you, as we see that emerging markets now account for an increased proportion of your growth in P&C, and we've seen two major transactions on the Russian market recently. So could we see this kind of operations and not only small bolt-on acquisitions? And my second question is more an accounting issue. Could you comment the income tax expense? Because I calculate that the burden is climbing by 90%, so it's quite an increase. Income tax expense.
Income tax. On the on Eastern Europe, well, it's one of the attractions of the Winterthur deal, the fact that they had good positions in four of the emerging Eastern European markets. And as you know, we had, on the other hand, started the direct operation, P&C direct operation in Poland. So we clearly view the, I would say, the new Eastern European members of the EU as a natural territory for expansion. We are much more cautious as far as an expansion outside from the European Union is concerned. There are some countries which we are looking at positively, but I would say not all of them. And at this stage, Russia is not in the spectrum.
On the tax side, I believe that our income tax charge effectively increased in 2006. I would say on a normalized basis, you could expect that the income tax charge would be of the order of 25%. And I believe that it was probably more like 21 last year and perhaps in excess of the 25 this year. But the, on a normalized basis, 25% tax charge would be what you should expect from AXA. And I suggest that IR comes back to you with more numbers.
Next question. Do we have any question on the phone or on the
another question coming from Andrew Crane, Citigroup London. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Couple of questions. Firstly, the slide you gave on property casualty rate increases and decreases, could you give us a sense of what you see claims costs growing at? And secondly, on the life side, could you split the fees and revenues in both 05 and 06 between those pertaining to separate account business versus general account business?
Could you repeat your second question, because we didn't understand it?
Under the alternative format for reporting the life earnings, you split the revenues between investment margin, technical margin, and fees and revenues. What I was after was a split of the fees and revenues for 05 and 06 between that which is pertaining to the separate account business as opposed to the general account business.
Okay. On the claims cost trends, Andrew, the claims cost trends depends from one country to the next, but I would say that on average our claims costs are flat or slightly down. So they continue to go up on the bodily injury side, but we had overall a claims cost trend which was quite favorable and roughly flat or slightly down.
But you don't anticipate that going forward, do you?
Sorry, we don't?
Anticipate that into the future to have flat claims.
Well, yeah, it's difficult to predict, but we are doing a lot, as we explained both last October and the previous October in our 2012 presentation. We do a lot in terms of fraud,
claims leakage,
and claims procurement. So we expect to work on that number quite actively going forward. And it's very difficult to predict, but this is a figure that we will continue to monitor very, very closely, and we expect to continue to have a reasonably good performance going forward. Obviously, we can't predict general inflation, but we are quite pleased with that outcome so far. On the fees and revenues split between general accounts and separate accounts, I don't have that number. I don't think we have that number overall, but I will let Etienne and the IR team come back to you.
Okay.
Other question?
We have a next question coming from Nicole, Lehman Brothers. Please go ahead.
Hi, Nick.
Hi, yes, it's Nick Holmes at Lehman. I had a couple of questions. First one is, with the rollout of the accumulator type products outside the U.S., I wondered if you could give us a little bit of an update on where you are with product launches in each country and where you think the most impact could be. Then the second question is on German motor. I noticed that you say you're seeing pricing increases on your in-force book, and I thought mutuals were still cutting pricing. And therefore my question is, does this mean that you're prepared to lose market share in German motor?
Okay, two very good questions. On the accumulator rollout, we think it's starting to be a very significant success. As I said, we have put in place the Irish hedging platform. If you look at the way it goes in Germany, you've seen the very, very, very strong impact on the German new business value. If I go back to the 2006 performance of TwinStar, I think we've been at least as successful as we thought, or more successful than we thought, on the regular premiums. We still, think we could do better on the single premiums sold or distributed by brokers. We have started since the beginning of this year to distribute TwinStar through a banking agreement with SE Bank, and it seems to work very well. We have plans to launch it, but maybe I'll ask Freddy Bouchard to explain what's going on in the Northern European region. And then I'll comment on the UK and on the French market.
Well, outside of Germany, where the product has been launched, like Henri just mentioned, you know, we are planning to launch Accumulator in Belgium. As a matter of fact, you know, the planning was to launch it at somewhere at the end of the first quarter, and we are still waiting for the tax ruling, you know, which we expect in, I would say, in the coming 2 months now before being able to launch it. And we are, you know, for as far as 2007 is concerned, we are exploring the possible launch of Accumulator then in Switzerland and in the Netherlands. But, you know, there is no, you know, date that has been fixed, you know, to launch those products this year.
Okay. In Japan, as Denis said before, we have launched the yen-denominated variable annuity, and this should start to work. In the other countries, Denis, do you want to comment? Because there is a chart in the appendixes.
It's not in the appendices.
I know
it's in our own appendixes. So we expect to launch in Italy and Spain in the spring. We expect to launch, I believe, in France also in the spring for the salaried network. We expect to launch in the UK probably during the summer, and in Australia and Hong Kong in the second half of the year. But I would say that in terms of volumes, our largest expectations would be from Japan and Belgium in 2007. And we'll see how it pans out. There is an internal competition for that. If I can take the German motor question, there is again, as Henri indicated, a difference between the price at which we renew the business and the price at which we price for new business. As you know, Germany is a country where roughly 50% or slightly more than 50% of the business is renewed on January 1. And we have again been quite successful in our renewal campaign in Germany at year-end 2006. We have a net inflow of, I believe, 75,000 new contracts on the AXA side, plus 30,000 on the Winterthur side, so roughly 100,000 new contracts. The pricing for those contracts was competitive, but it was also done through, thanks to a good advertising campaign and the fact that we have this dual product strategy with an eco product and a VIP product. But all in all, we have managed to maintain solid prices on the in-force and continue to gain market share on new business.
Okay, thank you. Could I just come back very, very quickly on the Accumulator product? Just to ask, you mentioned Australia, and I just wondered whether you think the impact in Australia could be significant, since it's a big unit-linked market without, I believe, any similar products of that type. Is that worthy of any comment?
Well, it's difficult to comment at this stage, because Australia is a market where the fall in equity markets in 2001, 2002, 2003 was just a blip. So there is a very strong equity culture, and the level of confidence of the customers in the equity market is much, much higher than it is, for example, in Europe. So if in continental Europe or in the U.S., there is a strong customer perception of the risk of investment in equities, and so the value of the guarantees, I think, will be perceived by the customer quite clearly. In Australia, what we don't know yet is how the market will react to the value and versus the cost of the guarantees.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Nick. Other questions?
Coming from Stuart Blair, there is a question. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi, good morning everyone. It's Blair Stewart from Merrill Lynch speaking. I've got a couple of questions regarding the UK life market. Given the very strong growth in 2006, I just wondered what your expectations were for growth in 2007. And perhaps you can also comment on your distribution strategy in the UK life market going forward. Also, just related to that, any more thoughts on the UK annuity market where you've been absent? And any thoughts on whether someone else could run your closed book more effectively than you could in the UK?
Okay, on the UK life, as Denise said, I mean the strong 06 performance was due to a combination of A-day impact plus good sales on the offshore bonds, plus the fact that we have, I would say, renewed the product range. When we look at 2007, I think we are quite confident that with the I would say further renewal of the product range, we should be more and more competitive. As you've seen, the acquisition of Sync Destiny is not a neutral element. We think that this will give us a significantly better access to distribution. And the addition of Winterthur, which is very well positioned the relationship with, on the wealth management side, is also increasing the competitiveness of the group. So we think that the UK market, where the prospects were, I would say, bleak for years, is a market where the picture is slightly changing, because the market environment is starting to be better, because also all the efforts we've made to reposition ourselves in terms of product offering, in terms of distribution penetration, are starting to, really take shape. There is one point where we need to make significant progresses. It's the quality of service. Because the quality of service is something which could be improved. We've had some issues in 2006, and we need to go over them. Denis, do you want to say any further thing on the UK?
Well, on the UK annuity market, we've not made up our mind. This has not been historically our area of expertise, and we are looking at it with caution from a pricing standpoint. And closed book, we are also looking at the situation. It's obvious that the discount to embedded value on the closed book transactions that have taken place in the recent months is now very close to zero, so it's becoming slightly more attractive. On the other hand, you need to take into account the scale effects and the impact that it has on your expense base. So we have not made any decision, neither on the annuity market nor on our closed book. Finally, I would just want to emphasize one point on our strategy in the UK, which is that we have now split the business into distinct business units that will be more focused, one on wealth management, which Henri mentioned, one on pension, and one on protection, and one in managing the large closed books that we have. So we will have a more focused management, and we expect to be performing even better than we did in 2006.
Just to come back for a second on the closed book issues, we are not a player who intends to exit the market, and therefore, before making any decision on closed books, you have to look not only at the financials, but also at the implications this could have in the relationship with the clients. Because there is something I want us absolutely to avoid, which is to have someone which is one of our clients whose, I would say, policy would be, or who would have more than one policy, one of them being administered by a sort of closed book shop and the other ones being administered by us. I don't think this would be good for the relationship. So it's something we are going to look at, but with a lot of caution.
Okay, thank you.
Next question?
You have no further questions at this time. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there a last question in the room? No? If not, we'll thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your participation today. This concludes today's conference. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.